This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius. Germanicus is here. We're in our favorite wine bar by the Thames. The centurions are enjoying themselves, going home later to a meal of swans. In many instances, we've been selling swans today. This is a delicacy that I had not seen in our markets for some weeks. I don't know why. Perhaps the swan keepers were holding it back. Don't know. We'll investigate that later. And there's a new theater piece in town. And now you all know that I prefer Roman comedy. But the theater piece is a play by Seneca called Octavia. Maybe he wrote it. Maybe one of his students wrote it. Let's say School of Seneca. You all remember Seneca's a philosopher who was murdered by Nero because Nero was a paranoid actor who was also the emperor and decided that Seneca was too smart to leave alive. Seneca wrote the goriest, the scariest, and so over the top, actually comical plays that Rome has. Octavia is the story of Nero's first wife, Octavia, whom he discards because he wants a new wife who is more useful to him as an actor. Octavia is the revenge play. Everybody dies. Everybody dies. Shakespeare liked Seneca's work. You know the story of the prince who is obliged to eat his children. I believe it's the Shakespearean play Titus. I believe it is, but I'm not sure. Well, that's Seneca. That's Roman gore. So we're going on to the theater later to see Octavia, which has been revived recently, because it doesn't offend Domitian. He doesn't fear his wives. It is funny, though. But first, revenge. Now, forcing a man to eat his children and then serving their heads, that's a little over the top. It's supposed to be. But revenge politics is the nature of the Roman Empire. And I believe it's the nature of the American Empire. Germanicus, has it struck you as odd that there's surprise that Mr. Trump is one by one taking vengeance on the men and women who concocted in the first term to beggar him and in the interregnum to put him in jail? Does that surprise you? Am I the only person who's not surprised?
I would only be surprised if the opposing party were to confess that they had done very similar things. And of course, you're never going to hear that. I mean, you're never going to hear about a Democrat president named Woodrow Wilson unleashing what are known as the Palmer Raids, which it was on the morning of January 3rd, 1920, American law enforcement was unleashed to round up 4,000 citizens. And that is only equaled or topped by the fact that another Democrat president, Joseph Robinette Biden, did the same thing after the so-called insurrection of 2020. And it's a remarkable kind of activity, and the Democrats will never admit that they essentially went after Richard Nixon, whom they despise, and they found a way to defenestrate him.
And they were successful at it. They were good at it.
It was regicide, and, right? And but again, they had all of the commanding heights of the institutions. At that time, they had not only Congress, but they had the Supreme Court. They had all of the media and the universities, and they were able to really drive this home. And so Mr. Trump, who managed to survive the same kind of effort that had been directed at Nixon with far less reason, although a lot of people even today question the entire case against Mr. Nixon. The fact is that they were out to get him, and they had kept in a kind of unlawful incarceration for people who had committed the smallest of misdemeanors, who were held in terrible high security prison conditions for years. I mean, that's just unspeakable. And so, you know, naturally, there's going to be an effort to get back, a kind of a vendetta, but hardly an unjustified one. In fact, Steve Bannon and others, for the most trivial of offenses, not appearing before a grand jury, were put in prison for months. This is it's a remarkable forked tongue expression by Blue. So this always is the case, and recently the more bitter politics has become, the greater the motivation, the greater the drive to get back at those who have wronged you, and it's unfortunate. In the past, we had this happen as far back as one of our celebrated founders, John Adams, who, with the Alien and Sedition Acts, tried to muzzle any kind of opposition, any criticism of the administration. That was done away with, and there was more amity in American politics, but there were still duels. Look at Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton there. How do we characterize that? And it really goes on and on, but it's crescendoed in a very worrisome, troubling way in the last decade. And it's not going, in all likelihood, to get any better.
I think what I observe, Germanicus, is the false piety, which is presented as a fate of the nation. Existential crisis. Yes. Democracy dies in, what is it, twilight, darkness, some metaphor. The piety is laid on almost as if it's a melodrama. No, it's laid on as a melodrama.
Yeah.
With no sense of history, none. That if you don't do this, it'll get worse for you.
We live in a society whose knowledge, general knowledge, knowledge of the world, knowledge of its own past, is so declined, decayed, and become desiccated that the majority of Americans can be misled by this sort of talk. To compare, you know, the January 6th riot as the greatest threat to America since the Civil War is beyond belief, and yet it was done not only with a straight face, but in congressional hearings with tears, men breaking up, you know, crying.
It was a star chamber of congressional hearings.
It was incredible to watch.
And it's good for them. Come on, Germanicus, good for them. They got away with it.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, they can't then.
They can.
Well, they can, of course. That's the whole point, is that the lying has reached the levels that have never before been seen.
When they slam the door at one of their parties, don't you think they sit back and laugh?
I think they do.
I think why?
Because they have a dispensation, and this is true of all religious movements, and that's what I would call this, that believe that they are light and truth and the other side is evil, that entails a process of othering, as I call it, of dehumanizing the other side, so that your lying becomes an act of virtue, because it isn't simply that you're lying for a good cause, but you're punishing, righteously punishing, these subhumans that really shouldn't be in any position of power or equivalence at all. So you don't have to feel guilty that you're lying. Instead, you feel good about it.
what do we take from this is that things have improved over 2,000 years, because in our time,
Yes. Vengeance
means you wipe out the family, your own family, before they get you. No longer necessary. I don't think Mr. Trump would go that far, do you, Germanicus? I don't think so.
No. No.
Although his son Eric is being mentioned as his successor. That's always a dangerous position.
Well, it is for Eric. But no, the thing about Mr. Trump, and this is a gut feeling, is that he doesn't want to be remembered as a tyrant. And he isn't really going to be physically, I think, in a position to entertain a third term, unlike FDR.
They're going to play with it. They're going to have fun with it.
Of course they will.
It's a cupcake tyranny compared to our day. Germanicus is Michael Vlahos. It's funny, folks. And we're going to go on to a Seneca play where the spurned wife takes revenge on the new wife, which is funny. I know there'll be lots of gore and people get horrified, but it's Rome. Germanicus is Michael Vlahos. I am Gaius John Batzler. The Centurions are going home to swan meat. I didn't get to that recipe. I'll do it next week.
Wait, was that the famous swan à l'orange episode?
No, it involves stuffing the swan and leaving the wings. Let me see if I can get it quickly, because I've been listening to you and didn't pull it up. Where did it go? I was chatting with Ara earlier about it. It's somewhere here. I don't know. I didn't write it down. Remind me next week if people want a swan recipe. I know this probably horrifies the 21st century, but it was popular in our day. This is the Friends of History Debating Society live from Londinium, making everybody hungry for swan meat, maybe. I am John Batchelor, and thank you very much.